because it's so tiring. But I would like to bring something maybe a little bit different. When we come to church, we want to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. If you believe, say amen. See? We want to feel God's goodness in our life. We want to receive the blessing of the Lord, and we want to be open. You know, whenever I preach, I would like to ask the audience to be like sponge, dry sponge. When you put the sponge in the water, what would you do? Absorb all the water. When we are in the presence of God, that's what we should do. God is our strength. God is our everything. God is our answer in every aspect of our life. So come to Him with an open heart. The Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find our help in time of need. Now, I would like to focus on the text right now in Psalm chapter 100. I would like you to open the Bible with you, and I want you to focus the verses in that Bible, and I'm going to show you verse 4. Let's focus on that. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Are we in the presence of God? Are we in the courts of the Lord? Are we in the house of the Lord? Yes, we are. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's the word of God. So when you come to church, when you come to His house, you come with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You've given me the time to worship me. You've given me the time to have fellowship with my friends, with my family. And His courts with praise. I would like to commend all the praise worship team. They've done a great job. You agree with me? Oh my goodness. This church is really, really something. When we worship the Lord, we got to be open to anything. And church should be something that is alive. So when somebody asks you a question, you should answer it. Otherwise, it seems that I'm talking to what? Wall? Hello? The praise and worship team have done their work so well, and they praise and worship the Lord with all of their hearts. Do you agree with me? Yeah. So thank you, worship team. And I would like to encourage everybody to be open to God's work in our life. Now, please pay attention to that word. And His courts with praise. That's what we've done. We come to the house of God, we praise Him. Now, some people, when they praise God, they praise as if they are not praising them. Have you been in front of a person who said, you're good? But his expression is like this, Pastor Matt, you're good. What would he feel? If you are a man and you are in front of your lover and you said, darling, you're so beautiful, what you feel? What would you feel? There's no expression, just words. Now, some people even didn't say anything. I expect you to understand what I said. Read my mind. And in my mind, I said, you're beautiful, you're good, you're good. That's it. But I don't say anything. When we come in the presence of God, the Bible says, enter His gates with what? Hello? Again, please focus. Verse 4. Enter His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving means, Lord, thank you. And when we thank God, imagine this. Somebody bless you. God has been blessing us. You agree with me? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
God has been blessing us so greatly with families, with jobs, with schools, with health, with everything. When we come to the presence of God, we say, thank you, Lord. We're not saying, Lord, you know what I mean. Or when we sing the song that say, you know, give thanks to the Lord for His good, His love endures forever. Or the give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, when we sing that song, are we singing it just with our mouth? Or we really sing it from our heart? Because if we come to the gates of God with thanksgiving, we are supposed to sing it with all of our heart. Because He is truly good to us. So when I say God is good, and this is the reason. Pay attention to verse 4 again, the third point. The first one, enter His gate with thanksgiving and His court with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Praise His name. And then verse 5 gives us the reason why we should give thanks, why we should praise the Lord. Verse 5 says this, for the Lord is good. That's why I always say when I preach, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Because God is good. And that's why we come to His gates, to His presence. That's why we praise Him. That's why we thank Him. Because He is good. In Hebrew, it says, Ki tov Adonai, ki le'olam hasdu. For the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. First, He is good. That's the first reason why we give thanks to the Lord. And what does it mean good? Like I said, the word good in Hebrew is tov. Can you please repeat after me? 1, 2, 3. Tov. Tov. The Lord is good, tov. And the word tov or good means that He is worthy to be given the thanks. He is good, He is kind, He is upright, He is pleasant, He is loving, He is gracious, He is understanding. This is the characteristic of our God. He is good, He is kind, He is upright, He is pleasant, He is loving, He is gracious, He is understanding. Now, if you like hymns, there's an old hymn called Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea. Oh, I thought you know him. Oh, okay. So that song says, I come to the Lord just as I am, without making any, wearing any mask, you know, just the way I am, with all of my flaw, with all of my iniquities, with all of my failures, with all of my mistakes, because there's nothing you can hide before the Lord, nothing. Whoever you are, you cannot cover it. God sees everything. Nothing is hidden before Him. So when you come to the Lord, to the house of God, just come the way you are. And Lord, I come to You. You know everything about me. I want to praise You. I want to worship You. Why? Because You are good. And one of the quality of good is He is understanding. He is gracious. I'm not trying to say, Lord, I'm good. No. Even though I'm trying with all of my heart to be as best as I can, but I know and I have to admit it, I'm not perfect. By the way, I have to tell you, one by one, hello, I'm not perfect. And if I can tell one by one to you, I am not perfect. But I like to admit it to you. I'm not going to say, I'm better than you are. No, I'm not better than you are. I am not perfect. But the good news, God is good. I can come to Him and knowing that He is understanding. I can come to Him knowing that He is gracious. Now, before I continue, anybody here feel that you are perfect? Please lift up your hand if you feel, I'm perfect. I have nothing wrong in me. I've never done any mistake in my life. Can I see your hand? Come on, look around. Anybody lift up their hands? Nobody, right? We all are not perfect. We all have made mistakes. Whether we want to admit it or not, there was one point in our life, not only one actually, many points, that we've done something that we're not proud of, and if we can go back there to the past, we would like to go back to the past and change what we've done. Am I the only one here feeling that way? When God looks at us, every time we come to the house of God, He looks at us with understanding and with grace. And what is grace? Grace is something that we receive, not because we work for it, not because we deserve it. Grace is given to us freely Because God loves us. And the Bible, this is the most famous maybe verse in the Bible, John 3:16. You can recite it. 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loves the world. God is good. He loves us. He loves not only us, he also loves the world, the whole world. But not everybody understands this. Not everybody believes that God is good, that God is loving. And that is the characteristic of the word Tov. Ki Tov Adonai, for the Lord is good. He is good. He is loving. He is gracious. He is understanding. Psalm 86 verse 5 said, you, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. And Psalm 107 verse 8 said, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And verse 68 from Psalm 119 said, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. You know, there are so many words in the Bible that declares, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. We give thanks to the Lord because he is good. And Romans 2 verse 4 said, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Why I'm so eager to spread the news about the goodness of God, because this verse said it's God's goodness that leads to repentance. If you know God is good to you, if you know God is so loving, forgiving, understanding, and you embrace his love in your life, you cannot help it. You will be changed. If you're not trying to be someone that you cannot be, but just believe that God's love, God's grace is more than enough for you, more than your failures, more than your mistakes, more than your imperfection, and you receive that grace in your life, you cannot change if you don't receive it. But if you receive it, you will be changed, and you will see that your life will be better and better and better every day. Now, the second reason is also in verse 5. For the Lord is good. The second verse, reason is his love endures forever. And tell me about this. When you hear the word forever, how long will it last? If I ask you, how long will it last, the word forever? It never lasts. It's forever. So when we read, we give thanks to the Lord, we praise him. First reason, for he is good. Ki Tov Adonai. And his mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever means forever. It never changes. And I remember the story of the prodigal son. And I have to share this because many people right now, even people who are in church, at the church, or involved in the ministry, some of them believe that God is not good. Yes, he's good sometimes. Yes, he's good in the past. But now, he is mad at me. He's punishing me. He's doing something bad against me. Some people backslide. Do you know some people backslide? Used to be believer, now they're no longer. Why? Because one point in their life, they felt God is no longer good. He's angry at me. And that's wrong. Because God's love endures forever. It means it never changes. Now, the prodigal son story, remember? There was a son. So there were two children, actually, two sons of a father, very good father. The eldest one is, you know, a good son, staying at home, helping the father. But the second one, the youngest one, was a bit terrible, actually. Asking the inheritance when his father was still alive. And then his father was so good, gave it all inheritance. And then this young son went out and spent all of his inheritance until he was broke. And then after that, he said, you know, I don't have any more money. I will work in a pig farm. And then he didn't have enough money. He didn't even have enough food to eat. And he wanted to eat the food that was given to the pigs. And people said, no, you cannot eat that. That belongs to the pig. Imagine that. Even pigs are given more privilege than him. So he thought, I will go back to my father's house. I know I don't deserve to be called his son anymore. This is what he thought. He will never receive me as his son anymore. But it's okay. I will just go back there and ask him to accept me as one of his servants. I will work for him, not as his son, but as his servant, because I don't deserve it anymore. But when he went back to his father, from far away, his father, when he looked at him coming back, he ran with his rope. Imagine, he was wreathed with his rope. He ran and approached his son and hugged his son and asked the servant to put him a new sandal, ring, and ropes. And all of these things, the sandals, the ring, and also the rope, they are things that were not given to slaves in those days. They were things that are given only to the son. Why? Because in his father's eyes, this prodigal son, the lost son, was still his son. And that proves that the love of God endures forever. If you believe, say amen. Sometimes when we make mistake, the evil one will tell us, hey, you have failed. God will never love you anymore. You don't deserve to serve the Lord. You better not go to church anymore, because he will never accept you as his children anymore, his child anymore. But in the Father's eyes, once you are his child, you are his child. Sometimes you make mistake. You will be called. Yes, you are my son. You are my daughter. Yes, you fall. Yes, you make mistake. But still, you are my son. Still, you are my daughter. If you come back to me, I will never reject you. I will never deny you. And this is also for every one of you who is listening to this message. Come and give praise to the Lord, thanks to the Lord, because he is good, for his love endures forever. That word, his love or his mercy, comes from the Hebrew word chesed. And chesed is something that is given to us, again, not because we deserve it, but because of his love. Now, the third one, the reason why we give thanks to the Lord, is also in verse 5, and it says here, his faithfulness continues through all generation. And again, why we give thanks to the Lord? Because he is faithful. Faithful means he doesn't change. And in the book of Hosea was a very interesting prophet. He was called by God to do an enactment of the love of God for his people. He make like an action to show people how God loves them. So God asked Hosea to do something very, very radical to prove God's love for his people. He asked Hosea, if you read the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, you will find this story. God asked Hosea to find a prostitute and to take that prostitute to be his wife.
What?
Yes. Read the book. Read the Bible. And after Hosea took the prostitute as his wife, they had children. After a while, living together as a family, the wife of Hosea went back to the prostitution and left the family. Think about it. But God spoke to Hosea again. Hosea, look for your wife and take her back. And he did. He went and searched for his wife doing the prostitution and took her back and take her as his wife again. And after that, the Lord explains the meaning of everything. Do you know why? That's how I love the people of mine. I took Israel, I took Judah as my wife, in a way. I take them as my people. I love them so much. They were not my people before, but I took them as my people. But after they became my people, they worship idols. They believe in other gods. They went astray. They did whatever they wanted according to their own desire. But still, I search for them and I take them back. Why? Because the Bible says God is faithful. And His faithfulness is from generation to generation. And we all know humans sometimes are not faithful. And it happens so many times. You know. Hey, young people, when you have your boyfriend or girlfriend, when you are dating a boy and a girl, you know, young man and young woman, walk together, and then the young woman stumble upon something. And then the young man said, "Hey, who put this thing here? Huh? Who? Who?" That's how he does it. When they were dating. After some years, they got married. The same incident happened. The wife and the husband walked, and then boom. What happened? The command will be different. Where is your eyes? You should have looked at it. Where is your eyes? Different point of view. Same couple. Just different time. Human changes. And you know, when someone is successful, that person would have many people around him. Friends, you don't have to invite them. They come. Many people will be gathering. Whoa, do you need anything? Let me know. I'll help you. But once this person went bankrupt, one by one left. Even when he tried to call, nobody picked up the phone. They avoid him. This is how humans live, the faithfulness of humans. But the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever, and His faithfulness from generation to generation. I just want to guarantee everybody in this room, according to the Word of God, if you thought you've been unfaithful to God, and you're thinking that God is no longer loving you, I just want to say, no, He still loves you. If you come to Him, even though if you make mistakes before, He will accept you because He's still faithful, and nothing can change that. If you believe, say amen. Nothing can change His faithfulness. And the good thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I believe many of you maybe memorized this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Wow, that word comes. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And I want to repeat that again. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let this word come into your heart and give you that strength. If you've been going through hardship in your life and you're thinking, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can make it anymore. This is too much for me. This is beyond my strength. Friends, this verse, this word of God is for you. God is faithful. He will never give you anything that is beyond that you can bear. He is faithful. If you believe, say amen. And then Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Romans 8:28, in everything He works together for the good of people who are called and loved by Him. And Romans 8 says, nothing that can separate us from His love. Not even death. Not even any creature. Not the past, the present, the future. Nothing whatsoever can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want everybody to be rest assured that God loves you. And He will never change. Even though you're going through so much hardship in your life, be thankful. Now, to close, I just want to give a brief things for every one of us here to understand why we have to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. And what does it mean, all circumstances? Good, better, bad, ugly, worst. For example, if you are in the middle of winter, you know, sometimes we say, wow, this is so cold. Today is very good. You know, wow, but in the middle of winter, very cold. Wow, this is so cold. You know, if you are working and then you got salary, but the salary is not really big, you say, what, this kind of money for a month is not going to be enough, you know. The Lord said, give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. One story that you will find very inspiring, when Jesus fed 5,000 people, remember? 5,000 men, not people. Men plus women plus children. So if you think one woman and one children together with men will be 15,000 people at least. And what was given to Jesus to feed those people? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And did you know who brought that? Those 5 loaves and 2 fish? In the book of John, it says small boy. So it was not big fish, it was not big loaf. But what he did, what Jesus did when he received this, he didn't say, what? Are you kidding me? 5 loaves, 2 fish for 15,000 people? Are you kidding me? No, he didn't say that. What he said, he received it, the Bible said, and then he looked above. What did he do? He gave thanks. And after he gave thanks, he broke it and distributed it to ask all the disciples to distribute. And after that, what happened? Miracle happened. All of them were fed. They were fed until they were full. And they still have left over 12 baskets full. Think about it. Miracles happen when you give thanks to the Lord, even though your eyes are looking at something that is so small. Give thanks to the Lord. And think about it. When did Jesus give thanks? After the miracle happened or before the miracle happened? Answer me. Before the miracle happened. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 15,000 people. 5 loaves, 2 fish is the supply. 15,000 people is the demand. Supply and demand doesn't match. But give thanks to the Lord. So when you receive your salary and you look at the number and you feel, instead of doing that, you're going to say, Lord, I know this is very small, but small things, if I surrender it to you and I give thanks to you, it will be more than enough. If you believe, say amen. Give thanks to the Lord before miracle happen. Give thanks to the Lord not only after you receive the answer of your prayer. So many of us, we just give thanks to the Lord if He gave us something. If not, no. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, He gave thanks first before He asked Lazarus to rise. There are many things that we can talk about, but because of the time, I have to stop. But my heart speaks to everyone of us here, and the Lord asked me to speak to everyone of us here about Thanksgiving. I don't know why, but I believe He speaks to every one of us personally. Whatever situation you are in, instead of complaining, grumbling, being negative, change our mind, change our attitude. Be positive, be thankful. When you are parents and you have children disobedient to you, instead of saying and speaking negative things about your children, speaking to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe he's in your hand. He's a good boy. He's a good daughter. They will be okay. And you do your best, but you're not going to do something bad. No, because God is good all the time. No matter what happened in your life, be thankful. And the three reasons, remember? For he is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness from generation to generation. And I just added something to you. That's God's will for us to give thanks to the Lord at all circumstances. And another thing, thanksgiving precedes miracle. God bless you.